Good day. I'm Pastor Mark Choate. I'm so excited to be back with you on Revival Today. Today's message is don't play with your gift. Amen. I know you're going to enjoy it. Give God some praise right now. Give God some praise right now. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to steal what you have. Hallelujah. I want you all to stand if you may. Can you all stand? We're going to pray over the word. Today's message that I have today, I believe that it's going to bless the hearts of God's people. And God is calling on us to recognize. Turn to somebody and say, recognize. One of the things that we have to understand, the message today is playing with your gift. So many times we don't recognize that the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to get what you have. He wants to steal what God has given you, and he wants to step on it and destroy it because God has already placed purpose in your life. And because God has already placed purpose in our life, the enemy's job is to steal what you have. So I'm going to start off with this scripture. If you turn with me to Proverbs 23:17, it says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. See, I want to go in this message today. The message is going to focus on how we must understand that the enemy wants you to lose your spiritual zeal. How many of you remember when you first got saved, how you were excited? You were on fire, and all you want to do is share and testify about the goodness of God. But the scripture said, don't let your heart envy sinner. Now, what I need you to understand is this is not a place to judge or to condemn or to go after people. But what we have to understand, the church has become envious of people. Because they see their lifestyle and they feel that they're getting away with something. And what's happening is the church has gotten to a place where we start to play with our gifts because we know we can come and use it any time. So I'm going to talk about this morning. I know you don't have, those of you that have your Bibles, I'm going off for a minute so it's not up there. If you turn me to John 3:16, 17 and 18, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Someone say everlasting life. See, now this is what we know. That's the contract that God has made with us. He said, if you believe in me, you won't perish. You'll have everlasting life. He didn't say believe in the politics. He didn't say believe in people. He said, you got to believe in me. Number one, I want to start there. But check what he says after this, because I'm going into this part of the lesson after the next part. It says, for God has sent his Son unto the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see how a lot of time we read that scripture about being saved, but God didn't send his Son to condemn, but he came to save. Where has the church lost his fire is because God has given us gifts, he has given us purpose, and what we have done, we begun to envy the world because people in the world or family or friends, you might see them saying or proclaiming the name Jesus, but they're getting away with stuff. You're like, they say they're saved, but they're living like this. They say they're saved, but they're acting like this. When you look in the scripture and you look at Samson, the Bible says that Samson fell in love with a Philistine by the name of Delilah. And what he had done, the Bible says that God had given him a superhuman strength where he could call on his strength anytime he needed it. And so what Samson began to do, he would look at his situation, and whenever he was in a compromised situation, what would he do? He would call on his strength. And because of that, he continued to know that he was already ordained by God in the womb. So he knew that God was on his side. See, I need you to go. I'm going somewhere with this. He knew that God was on his side so much that he began to play with his gift. He began to use his gift at will. And God has begun to show me some things, because what the church don't realize is in the scripture when it says that he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to what? God began to reveal something to me. He said the church is focusing on condemning people. The church is focusing on attacking people rather than understanding that God sent you so that you would be a light unto the lost. And he said that you're using the gift that I've given you to manipulate the word. And see, the thing is with Samson was one that the Bible says that the angel came unto his mother and told her how to raise him. He wasn't to cut his hair or to have any strong drink. Do you know the same thing happened with Jesus? Same thing happened with John the Baptist. So when the scripture says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. The church is envious. So the church is starting to walk around and say, you know what? If I can get away with this, I'll do this. And still, when I need my power, I'll pull it up. And I need you to know that God is not pleased when we go and we work this way. If you turn me to 1 Peter 4:17. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. The time has come. The judgment begins with you, and me. I need you to know that too many people confuse remorse. They feel that remorse, if they're remorse about something, that they're sorry about it. But God wants you to not be remorse. He wants you to repent. He don't want you to have the spirit of remorse. He wants you to have the spirit of repentance. So I'm going to go into that. Okay. So right here when it says the time has come that judgment begins at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? See, the word clearly says there's going to be judgment against the world. God didn't want to enlarge in hell. But when we choose not to obey, someone say the word obey. Obey is hard because that means you have to listen to somebody. And so in order for you to obey, you have to listen. So what Samson did, his parents came to him and said, listen, you should marry your own, marry someone we know. But instead, Samson said, I have the strength. I have the power to do what I want. So I'm going to go where I want. You know how sometimes we tell our parents, no, I'm going to go. No, I'm going out with, you said, but he's been in jail 3 times. Or you tell your friends, listen, the friends you're hanging around with, they're always smoking weed and doing drugs, so don't be around them because it's bad company. But a lot of times we can identify with that message, but yet the church is doing exactly the same thing. We're getting around negative-hearted people. And what we do is we get around people that are not content in their salvation. And we continue to come together and manipulate each other with the word. And see, so because you have a gift, like Samson, he found himself in trouble one day where he couldn't get out. So let's go more into the word. So right here, I'm going to read this scripture first. I'm going to skip all the way through because I'm going to go to the part with Samson. I done messed up my tablet here. Okay. So let's turn with me to Judges 16:28. Right here is where Samson found himself. I'm going to ask our reader to read. You have the mic. The back page of Everlast. I give him some work to do. He don't mind. Now go ahead, because this is where Samson found himself in, and I'm going to go to the other scriptures after. Go ahead.
Judges 16 and 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee.
See, so right there, Samson found himself in a struggle because he kept on sleeping with the enemy, even though he had power and strength, and he knew that the Lord was with him. Every time he would get in trouble, he would get himself up, shake himself, and then he would go forward with supernatural strength. But now in this scripture, it says that Samson found himself in a situation that he couldn't get himself out of. Even though he knew the word, he knew his God, he knew his people, he had put himself in a compromising situation because he refused to listen. Someone said, refused to listen. So he would battle and he would fight his way out of his situation, but yet he didn't realize that the anointing that was on his life can be taken. And God began to show me that too many of us play with our salvation because we feel that we should be able to get away with some things because the other saints ain't living right. And because you look at somebody else and you see what they're going through, you say, well, they're still this, they're still that. How many been there? There is a spirit that is trying to overtake you. So what Samson did, he found himself in trouble now. He realized that now he has given away all his clues. The enemy wants to know where your strength lies, church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our strength can lie in our family. It can lie in your job, your relationship. The enemy's job is to roar, to go about and try to find where your strength is. And church, I need you to know that the enemy is doing his job well, but we must be aware that we cannot get ourselves caught up in a place where we start to believe in the lie. So in the scripture, it says Samson called unto the Lord and said, what? God, what? He said, God, remember me. So many times we need to understand that it's not about being remorse. It's about repentance. God has given you gifts. God has given us gifts of prophesy, gifts of tongues, gifts, even natural gifts of musicianship. But God has begun to show me in a dream. He said, my people constantly continue to play with my word for their own natural gain. And this is what Samson did. He played with the word because he said, I know the God that gives me strength. So he said he began to walk in a way that wasn't pleasing unto God. So every time he took a step in the wrong direction, guess what? He would wake himself up and he would find the enemy around him. And guess what? He always had the strength to overcome them. So know what that did? It made them feel confident. And see, this is why we got to understand the spirit of pride will come into your spiritual walk and make you think that, I have arrived because I overcome the few battles. But don't you know that the enemy's job is to get into your business and find out where your strength lies? And so Samson got himself up, and he began to shake himself time after time, and he would always defeat the enemy. But like you heard the testimonies today, God wants you to know that he's going to bless you. But there's still something you got to shout now. There's still things that you got to do right now before you get through the battle. So many times we want to wait till the battle's over, but it's important to shout and praise right now. When you come into the house of God, you're supposed to give them thanksgiving. So Samson woke himself up and go ahead and read the rest of that. It says, I pray thee.
I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may at once avenge of the Philistines from my two eyes.
See, so he said, I'm praying this once. You see where I'm going with this? He began to pray, and he said, Lord, this is my last request. If you do this, some of us have been in that situation. Lord, if you deliver me of sickness. Lord, if you deliver me from this relationship. If you deliver me, I'll do better. And God is saying that he has kept his promise. And then you begin to flourish, and then you begin to play with me because of who you are. But he said, you're nothing without me. He wants you to know, he wants all of us to know that repentance has to be what we do daily. Paul says, I die daily because there's no good thing in this flesh. So turn with me to 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. See, so it says, be what? Vigilant. What does that mean? That means watch. Who are we watching? The scripture that I brought out first was saying that we are the first church. Oh, a discipline comes where? To the church first. And so he says, be vigilant, because the devil, the adversary, comes about as a roaring lion. So he's trying to find something against you. We see today on TV, we have great men of God that are getting caught up in scandals. And this has been going on for a long time. That's why you even seen it with Samson. But that's why when Jesus was with his disciples, he said, follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Do as I do. He said, if you want to be my disciples, forsake all to follow me. I need you to know that Jesus requires something of his people, because he said, I'm not going to just hide and duck. He said, I want you to watch me do what the will of the Father is. Because he said, I want to reveal unto you how it goes. But right now, we have a generation that want to hide, don't want no one near them because they don't want them to see their business. And then in the church, we're too nosy. Looking for stuff. But what we have to understand is that God wants us to be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, is trying to get after you. Next scripture, go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 7:9-1. Go ahead.
2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul begins by saying that because God has given promises of eternal life through Jesus Christ, believers should purify themselves so that they do not contaminate their body and spirit.
You see that? So this is setting us up. So right there, he's saying that the believers should do what? What is the word?
Purify
themselves. Now, when Jesus said in the beginning, when the scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomever believeth in him, a lot of times we stop with the word believe. I believe, but we don't purify ourselves. What does purify mean? To set yourself apart, allow yourself to be cleansed and cleaned out. Cleaned out doesn't mean you can do it all in your own strength. That's why we ask God daily, forgive us. But purifying ourselves means that we can't be the judges of the world. We don't need to worry about the world. We need to show the love of Christ so that the world will wake up. So that the world will say, hey, I'm envious of the saints. I'm envious of the way they live. But too many times we're envious of how they live. So the church changes everything about itself to be like the world. And God is saying to the churches that I don't need you to be my advocate. I need you to be righteous. I don't need you to have a voice. I need you to live right. Because a lot of people really right now, today's time and generation, what's going on in society now, do you know people want to see someone do right and live right now? Because they hear all these other messages. No one's loving each other. No one's caring about each other. Even the church ain't caring about each other. The church is acting like the world, getting caught up. And God is saying, I need you to just want to live right. So in that scripture, the next scripture, go ahead. Go to the next scripture after.
Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance.
You see that? He said, I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but your sorrow led you to what? Say the word, repentance.
Repentance.
That's what it's all about. When God brings you out, he doesn't want you to get conceited where you think that I can't fall. Or like, oh, I was used by God so I can do what I want, like Samson. He shook himself in. You see how he began to pray and said, Lord, help me this one last time. We don't want to be in that situation. Because even though Samson was delivered that one last time, that's when he lost his life. His greatest battle was his last. And don't you know the enemy wins when you constantly not walk in the light? And constantly compromise with yourself just because you're envious of what you see others get along and getting away with. But our reward is coming, church. So your reward, yes, when you share about what you're going through, some people say, well, why are you so excited? Because I know even if I don't get it now, it's coming. Even if I don't see it now, I know it's coming.
Amen.
So I don't have to envy the world. I don't have to change who I am. But what I need to do is outlove them. I need to find a way to love somebody into the kingdom of God, because we draw through love and kindness. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm about done. So it says, be sober and vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, is going about like a roaring lion, walking about, seeing whom he may devour. First Peter, it says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. You see that? You see how it says, Jesus said, I called you to be holy, but what are you doing? And see, what we got to understand, church, We're lookers. We're lookers, and we look into other people's stuff. And we're doing it online. We're doing it with our phones. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, they're not quite saved because, oh, they're at the beach with a two-piece. or they ain't quite saved because, you know, no. What God wants us to do is worry about our soul salvation, ourself. And then when someone see you at fault, you can say I'm wrong.
Yes, listen, this message is powerful because it's telling us, let us stop playing with our gift. Just because we have a gift of the Holy Ghost, gift of tongues and gift to prophesy, we don't want God to say in the end, depart from me, I know you're not. So church, it's time to be real and know that God is with us. He wants us to know how to operate in our gift. Okay, listen, come visit us at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. And also, Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. Come check us out. Also, if you like to give to this ministry, go to houseofpraisenep.org. Again, houseofpraisenep.org, and click on give, and you can give to this ministry or send a check to 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Thank you again. Continue to keep us in your prayer. I'm Pastor Mark Choke.